Jesse Sapolu coming up 5:15. In just a moment, we're looking at Kevin Pelton's predictions for the upcoming NBA season and why he says the Kings are headed for the play-in tournament. Before we get to that, real quick, thanks for being with us today and thanks for your participation. The text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. On fire today, Kyle. We have someone from the 916 appreciated the dance, Gavin Dance reference. You're welcome. Drapes, it's not a shock to you that Niner fans are arrogant, is it? I don't know who that's from, but.
Not a shock at all. Not a shock. Niners, Cowboys, all of them, yep.
Scott, and thank you, Scott, for putting your name on it. Hello, Scott. Drapes, the Cowboys are not good enough to beat the Niners, and Dak is a middle-of-the-road quarterback at his best.
At his best?
Arrogance
once again. It's like, he's not on our team, so he's trash. He's garbage.
After the Niners smash the Cowboys, Draper will have some excuse about Purdy.
Why are they coming at me like that? What did I do to you guys out there? What did I do?
I think that means they like you.
I hope so. I just call it like I see it. I'm not going to play the fanboy role, Whitey. That's just not me. I know there's a lot of that going around here. That's just not going to be me. I'm going to call it like I see it.
Brock is not having the season he's having without McCaffrey. Not even close. That's a great point.
There you go.
Yeah, and two quarterbacks that people thought were going to be better than they were. Matt Leinart, I wanted the Raiders to draft him so bad. Yes. And Matt Cassel, who was really good for a brief period.
What happened? Yeah.
And then it's like, what happened to that guy? He turned into a, you know, from a castle to one of those bouncy houses. He was just wasn't very good.
Is that a joke there? Was that a...
No. No.
It's from a castle to a bouncy house.
It's a very, very astute quarterback.
All right. Megadeth Knight. See, I noticed you don't read the YouTube when they hype your boy up. Megadeth Knight. Everyone loves Drapes. I'm going to get a t-shirt about that. You know, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, I can't.
I got some people.
I was just looking at
you got all my
line.
Haters coming at me. You know, that's all right. I appreciate all of it.
Yeah. Do you appreciate this? Kevin Pelton, ESPN, ESPN Plus. You got to get beyond the paywall to read this. He says the Kings will finish seventh in the West, which would mean they are headed for the play-in tournament.
So if Kevin Pelton had just said that, I would be, okay, all right, that's his opinion. You know, I get it, his stats and everything. The problem I have, Whitey, as we dig deeper into the article, is that he has the Minnesota Timberwolves second in the Western Conference, the Pelicans sixth in the Western Conference. Like, it frustrates me the level of disrespect coming to King's way. And when you read the article, the only reason he gives that the Kings will take a step back is because they probably won't be as healthy. How bogus is that? That is so weak. That's so lazy. And this is a guy that writes for ESPN, the worldwide leader. Everybody likes to follow and everything. And he comes out with this garbage. Give me some real analysis. Like, you know what? The defense isn't as good. You know, statistically, Domantas Sabonis, you know, may have some flaw, whatever it may be. But don't tell me the reason the Kings are going to be worse is because they won't be as healthy. You can say that about every team. Health is an issue for every single team. We just don't know.
Timberwolves second in the West is the worst thing I've heard since I compared Matt Cassel to a bouncy house. It's that bad. It's that bad. But seriously, that's one of those kind of like, brain-numbing evaluations of Minnesota Timberwolves. Again, I know we touched on this earlier. One of the big things with the Kings and analytics people is regression. I honestly think people think they were healthier last year than they were. They played through a lot of injuries that the coaching staff, the medical staff, and the players deserve credit for playing through.
Exactly. And you know, just because Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, who was nicked up, and Keegan Murray, who was nicked up, they didn't decide to load manage or rest or be like Paul George and Kawhi and sit games out and try to get fully healthy. Like, they gutted through a lot of things. So you can't hold that against them.
You can't assume they'll be hurt this year
because
they played through injury last
year. Because they were hurt last year, really.
Right.
They were hurt last year. They just sucked it up and played through it. And so this, you know, as a Kings fan, I would have an issue, obviously, with Kevin Pelton's. He says it's his statistics, his formula that he uses and everything like that. But then he goes on to say that he took some liberties when it comes to how many games a player would play. And so, you know, if I'm a Sacramento King fan, I say, all right, underestimate us again. Overlook us once again. But what we saw last season, Whitey, was not a fluke. De'Aaron Fox is that dude. He can be that guy. Domantas Sabonis was that guy in Indiana. Like, it wasn't like Domantas Sabonis all of a sudden had this aberration or anything like that. And Keon Murray's going to get better. So I can make the case that the Kings would actually have a better season, Whitey, than they did last season.
Average wins, and I assume he ran a bunch of simulations, and then he has average wins for the Kings. So over 100 simulations, the Kings won 43.1 games. That, I've said myself, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a better team but win fewer games. But 43 wins for the Kings, to me, I think that's a little low.
That's just a tad bit, right? Yeah. Just a tad low. Yeah. Especially when you have in the Eastern Conference the Atlanta freaking Hawks at 43.8.
Come on.
You got the Atlanta Hawks ahead of the Sacramento Kings. I like Trae Young. I like some of the players they got there. But I don't know how any objective viewer could say that the Atlanta Hawks, the Minnesota Timberwolves, would be better than the Kings.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to Ken. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports, Ken. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Yes, sir. What it do? DJ K-Dub in the mix for you. Check it out, man. We don't mind all the media hype, man. They're not hyping us up where we want to be, but they hyping us where we want to be. They talking at low talk. They're talking about we in the seventh position, play-in game. We're not going to be healthy. That's what we want to hear, because that's what we heard last year until Mike Brown came in and changed everything. If you don't believe what Mike Brown has brought to this team, if you don't believe the team roster, just look at our roster. Our roster is experienced, young, fast, and we are hungry. You don't realize how hungry we are. Game 7, Golden State Warriors, champions of the previous year. Come on, we can't get our props. You can't sit us at least 4 or 5. Keep talking that talk. We don't mind. Keep talking that talk. You're only fueling the fire. And when the fire explodes, guess what, man? Sacramento Kings, man. Light the beam. Drakes, you know me, man.
I got you, baby.
I shouted out who I was in the beginning. You already know who I am. You know how I feel about the Kings. You know where I stand about the Kings, man. Listen, man, it's real in the battlefield this year. All I can say, stand by. And I dropped the mic. One.
Bam.
Thank you, Ken.
Ken, what a great call. Ken Hack is coming with that energy.
Call of the day.
But Whitey, I'm going to go to my single shot right here.
Yeah.
I love Ken. I love everything he has to say. But Sacramento Kings fans, it's a new day. It's a new era. So this season, come October 27th, come October 29th, I don't want to see half a stadium filled with Golden State Warriors fans. I don't want to see half a stadium filled with LA Lakers fans. You don't go to Chase Center. You don't go down to Crypto or whatever they're calling it and see the Kings. You don't go to Boston and see other teams come in and invade that. Kings fans, we got to show out this season if we're really about that. The player's going to do great. The coaching staff is going to do great. Don't sell your tickets to these Warriors fans and Lakers fans.
Don't do it.
You know? Let me ask you, Whitey, because you were around.
Yeah.
Early 2000s, mm-hmm. Did Lakers fans try to take over Arco?
They tried. They tried.
How was it?
They actually had, I got to tell you.
Keep it real.
They made some inroads. There were a lot.
Did they?
Because we're talking Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
They had more of a presence than we would have liked. They did.
That just is disgusting.
Yeah,
man.
More than there should have been.
You know what? You know, I'm going into my fourth season with the Kings. And the thing that bothered me the most my first two seasons was Warrior fans and Lakers fans in our building. That, you know, I'm doing a post-game show, and I got a row full of Lakers fans, but that should not happen. And now that we're a good team, now that we're a competing franchise, I hope – we take that personal and don't let them take over our building. Mm-hmm. Like, we got our first test coming up a week from Sunday against the Warriors. We should be jammed out. I know it's preseason, but we should be jammed out. Don't let Warriors fans come and make that kind of noise. They shouldn't be, you know, able to get tickets into our building like that.
I will tell you, though, 2000, the Kings were playing the Lakers, and it was the first round. The Kings had gotten into the playoffs the year before, and they got knocked out by the Jazz. They got in there. It's game four. It's a Thursday night at Arco, and the Kings have to win to force a fifth game mm-hmm. in L.A. And they won that game. And it was the loudest I ever heard the old building.
Wow. I mean,
my daughter and I were there. You couldn't even converse. It was so loud.
Ooh.
And I remember talking to Derek Martin about it. He said, yeah, we were talking about on the bench. He said, that's the loudest I think I ever heard it for any Kings games. And it got really loud in there, but that was the loudest I ever heard it. Only thing I ever experienced that was close to that was game one against the Warriors.
Yeah, this past season. Yeah, that was the loudest stadium I had been in. It was kind of deafening. Like it was that white noise almost where, you know, it's just your eardrums are. Yeah, that I can't wait for. And that's what the players talked about, too, what they're looking for when they return to Golden 1 Center.
Yeah. And then one of the things the players talked about before game seven of the conference finals against the Lakers was just they were underneath. You probably talked to Doug about this. And just they're underneath getting ready. I've talked to Elson Turner about this. And then they hear, like, what is that? And they hear the fans.
Before the fans, the boards and shaking and everything. Yeah. And that's coming back.
It's pure.
Back, man.
It's genuine. It is. The emotion from Sacramento fans, it's like nothing else. Other teams, other fans, they get excited. But it means more here.
Does it? No, I'm joking. I know it totally don't. I know we got Jesse coming up here in a minute. I was looking at the clock. I was like, oh, he about to go to break right now, you know? So I'll just let him end on that mic drop moment here, but I apologize for that.
No. You know what I mean? It's more there's something, the connection between, and they have it in other cities. It's great, but it's very unique.
No, this is our team. Like, it's, you know,
it's the only team
big
we got.
What's the word? A big city in a small town, or a small town, like, you know, it's like a family. Like, you know, you grow up, it's in your blood to be a Kings fan.
Mm-hmm. And we're also very excited, of course, about the Cowboys and Cowboys and the 49ers. An all-time great 49er, Jesse Cipolla. Won four Super Bowls with the Niners. He joins us when we come right back. Drive Guys, Sactown Sports. And as we get ready for the 49ers and they who shall not be named, nice enough to join us here, it's Whitey Gleese and Kyle Draper, former 49er Garden Center, spent his whole career with the Niners, helped them win four Super Bowls, the great Jesse Cipolla. How are you today, Jess?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're doing fine. Cowboy Week is here, and I'm guessing that probably brings back some memories for you, huh?
Yeah, a lot of memories. You know, early 90s. You know, that was the biggest game in the NFL for about 3 or 4 years straight. And it's the biggest game this week, so there's a similarity right there.
You know, Jesse, we had somebody on our YouTube page say that a loss to the Cowboys is a loss. It's like 4 weeks in a row. It's like four losses in a row. Just describe Cowboys Week to me from a preparation standpoint, from a player standpoint. How juiced up do you get for this?
Well, you know, it's the biggest game this week. So that's the similarities right there, because I think the neat thing when we had that rivalry in the early 90s, you know, people predicted that it was either going to be the Cowboys or the 49ers that was going to win the Super Bowl. The unique thing about it is that all of those predictions came true. So those two teams at that particular time were, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of the league. And that's what was fun about that little rivalry. In the 80s, you know, we took over the 80s, and it was the Niners that kind of knocked the Cowboys out of contention with the Dwight Clark catch, and they kind of disappeared for a while. Then they came back in the 90s. And now, you know, the Niners have had some success, you know, going to two Super Bowls, numerous NFC Championship games. But now Dallas being back in the picture the last 2 years, you know, it's kind of fun. It's fun for our fan base. And of course, we look at all Cowboy fans as delusional. So that's what's fun about this week.
And Jesse Cipolla with us. You won four Super Bowls. I know you weren't there for the first one, and this team hasn't won any. That said, do you see some similarities between this team and any of the 49er teams that you played for?
Well, I think the similarities is that what Kyle has done is put us in contention year after year. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I won four Super Bowls, but, you know, I'm not overly happy when I talk about it because I lost four NFC championship games.
Mm.
So the fact that I won four championships, the reason why I was able to do that is because I played in eight NFC championship games to get those four. So the consistency is there. I think that the standard that Kyle and John has brought back to our organization is exciting only because, you know, Kyle is still a young coach and John Lynch is kind of young for general manager. So we have a bright future. And of course, we found our quarterback in the most unlikeliest of places, you know, the very last pick of the draft. So things are looking up for the 49ers. But like you said, you know, the thing that they need to do is close the deal. And then they can compare themselves to the teams of my era.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Jesse. And speaking of comparisons, we've been trying to come up with a comparison for Brock Purdy, the Niners quarterback. What are you seeing from Brock Purdy? You know, Kyle Shanahan says he's the real deal. How impressed are you with him so far?
I'm very impressed. And I could tell from the preseason, his rookie year, when I saw him, the opportunities that he got, I was really impressed with how he maneuvered the pocket. And the most exciting thing was that he had some athleticism that made him buy him sometimes in the pocket. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but I spoke at his Mr. Irrelevant banquet here in Southern California. You know, the Niners called me to go and speak at the banquet. So that was a pretty neat thing because, you know, I shared with him that I was the 11th round draft choice, so I was super Mr. Irrelevant. and we had some fun. You know, it's like a roast. So some of the former Ram guys were there roasting him. They didn't care because, you know, he's not a Ram Mr. Irrelevant. But I had to be positive and be encouraging because he's one of our guys, and you never know which one of those kids are going to work out, and look what happened. So I mentioned to him that if I was 11th round draft choice and won four Super Bowls, there's no reason for him not to be able to do the same thing, you know. So very happy about it. I think he's a special kid because of his ability to process things really, really quick, you know, and get the ball accurately to who's open, similar to number 16
You see?
I'm very, very excited about that.
I mentioned that comparison yesterday, Jesse, and my partner kind of gave me a kind of a sideways glance. It just looked a little bit. You can't help but, in a way, just when you see Brock, you can't help but be reminded of Joe at least a little bit, right?
Well, he's not as tall, but if you remember Joe in his young days when the Niners came out of nowhere in the 1981 season, he ran for some first downs.
Hmm.
You know, he was known as kind of a running quarterback. Now, when Steve Young came with his ability to run, that kind of erased all of that. But Joe was kind of a running quarterback, but his ability to process things in the pocket and throw it accurately, you know, that's not something that's easy to do. And to me, that's what separates Brock from a lot of these young guys that are coming up, is his ability to process things. Because when he came in during the Miami game last year, I don't know if you guys were there, but Miami threw the kitchen sink at them, you know. And Miami, when they came to us, I think they were 9-2 or 8-3 at the time. So they were one of the top teams coming in. And then Brock, carried us through. The stadium got excited again because, you know, when Jimmy got hurt, you know, the air kind of came out of the balloon, you know. But when Brock started playing and the fans started realizing what was going on, it's a special thing. Now, I don't want to jinx the kid, but I think we got something special. I think we're lucky that he came back from this injury and he's looking like he's fully recovered and excited to go to the game this Sunday.
Jesse, when you look at this Niners team, obviously, you know, they're favorites to make it to the Super Bowl. The weight of the organization, the franchise is on their shoulders. The fan base says Super Bowl or bust. You've played on teams with high expectations. How do you handle that as a player?
Yeah, Super Bowl or bust was what was required of us during our era. And that's expected because, you know, we started closing the deal, and every time we lost, we either lose in the NFC Championship game or second round of the playoffs. So the expectation was there. I think these kids, these are young men that are playing now, they just got to close the deal. I spoke to Talanoa Hufanga, and I shared with him, I said, Talanoa, if you guys close the deal one time or twice and bring us 6 and 7, I think the fan base will look at you guys the same way they look at us, even though we brought home 5. But they're so hungry to get number 6 that they will put you guys up there in the same pedestal that they put our era. I said, you know, if you guys can just bring 1 or 2, man, we'll be very, very happy. So I think that's where we're at. You know, the fan base will make this group special if they can close the deal.
That's a great Jesse Sapolu. By the way, Jesse is going to be the official starter for the 3rd annual Golden Heart Run presented by Cisco at Levi's Stadium on the 14th. We'll get to that in just a second, Jesse. But I got to ask you, we can't imagine this, and you lived it. What can you share with us about what it was like to be in the huddle and you're looking around and you're like Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and guys like that? What was it like to be in the huddle with guys like that?
Well, you know, I look at them as my teammates. I know the picture of people looking from the outside. You know, we have, you know, a team full of stars. But when you're in a huddle, you're just focused on making sure that you beat the team that's waiting for you when you break that huddle, you know, time after time. So the focus was there. You know, sometimes I walk around now at Levi's and I see how loud the crowd gets. And I know some of the memories come back, and I can't believe like I performed under that kind of pressure, you know. And you know, the Super Bowl that's very dear to me was the one in Miami when John Taylor scored with 36 seconds mm-hmm. left, and we had to drive the ball 92 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that you, when I do things in life now, I always refer to that. If I can handle that pressure, I can handle any pressure that I have to deal with now.
Was the John Candy story real? Did Joe really in the huddle there and on that drive say, hey, everybody, look, it's John Candy?
Yeah, it was a TV timeout. We ran a play. We ran a play, and we called a timeout. So Joe went out to see Coach Walsh, came back in, and we were about to call a play, and the umpire said to me, because he talks to the center, you know, just hold it. We got a TV timeout. So now we're waiting an extra minute. And during that minute, he squatted down and looked through the huddle, you know, and saw John Candy. You know? But, you know, hey, man, if you have the driver of the bus that calm and cool and collective at that moment, you know, that makes all of us passengers on the bus pretty calm. But that was what's special about Joe, you know. And I like I said, I don't want to jinx this young man, Brock Purdy, but there's a certain calmness about him, even though when they throw blitzes at him, he knows exactly when to get rid of the ball, you know, even if he like, now this past week he only had one incompletion, but some of the games that he played when, you know, some of the great pass rushing teams like Dallas in the playoffs last year, Dallas defense, they brought it. But, you know, Brock didn't make a mistake. He threw it away when he needed to throw it away and picked the times when he threw that pass. He threw to Kittle, just kind of got us going in the playoff game last year. So there's a special thing about playing the position of quarterback. And like I say, I don't want to jinx the young man, but I see something special in him.
As I mentioned, Jesse Sapolu, the official starter of the 4.9K Golden Heart Fund, 3rd annual Golden Heart Run presented by Cisco's. That's at Levi's Stadium October 14th. And the best thing about this, Jess, all proceeds benefit former 49er players facing challenges in their lives after football, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's something that we're very passionate about. It helps our brothers. You know, just because we play professional sports doesn't mean we don't have challenges, you know, when we're done like any other human. And, you know, this will go straight to some of the guys that put their health and put their lives on the line, you know, to make our fan base proud. And I'm looking forward to hosting it. It's a great thing for families to come and participate and at the same time benefit or 49er alumni.
You know, Jesse, you're part of the 49ers family. Just describe, if you will, you know, as a former player, what it's like to still be a part of the organization and to have this team now, you know, on the cusp, maybe Super Bowl favorites. You know, it's been a while since you played, obviously, but I'm sure you're still close and tight with the 49ers family.
Yes, and this is, what, 38 years for me now, you know, being connected to the organization in some capacity, you know, 15 as a player. You know, it's great. I mean, the opportunity to see us, you know, we had some struggles, and then Jim Harbaugh came through, you know, gave us some winning season, and we were in the cusp of making it, and you know, we had the ball on the 4-yard line, you know, and we didn't, you know, take it in to beat Baltimore. And what hurt me there was that's the first time we've ever said we lost the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know. And then we went through some struggles. I mean, we went through a 2-14 season, a 6-10. I think we went through 3 or 4 head coaches. And now here's this young man that has a connection to the Niners because he was a ball boy when I was playing. Because his dad was one of my last offensive coordinators, Mike Shanahan. Wow. You know, so Kyle came in and taking us to the point where Niner fans are walking around proudly right now. You know, the thing that hurt is last year I really felt we had a chance. But then the unfortunate, you know, elbow injury to our quarterback. I mean, it's for us to make it that far, and Christian McCaffrey started playing quarterback at the end of that game. I mean, you know, it just shows you what Kyle Shanahan can do because, you know, Purdy was number 3 going into the season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we're back in contention. But like you said, you know, it's Super Bowl or bust, which people look at it. It all depends on how you look at it. Some people say, well, you know, how can you say that? Well, to me, it's a compliment because that means that's what we expect now. So those 6-10 seasons I can do without. And I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will deliver for us. We just got to be patient and pray that they're injury-free because injuries plays a big part in how the season goes. So looking forward to the Sunday and looking forward to our fan base enjoying themselves.
Jess, we'll let you go on this one, if I may, just one more. I know you're the co-founder of the Polynesian Pro Football Hall of Fame, big advocate mm-hmm. for Pacific Islands football. What do you think of the start that Tua's off to, and are you hoping that the 49ers don't have to play him and Mike McDaniel in the Super Bowl?
it's so funny you mentioned that because, you know, I'm close to the family. I sit on Tua Tagovailoa's foundation board. So we went to the luau this past offseason in Miami, and I got a chance to talk to Coach McDaniel and Raheem Mostert, you know, and some of those former Niner guys. You know, I'm proud. I'm proud of Tua. You know, right now there's a possibility it could be the Niners, Miami, in Las Vegas. So even though I'm close to the family, you know, they came to us last year. You know, when it's time to play, it's time to play. You know, we're people of faith, and we understand that even if Tua plays on the other side and we're on this side, you know, they're all a blessing from the man upstairs, so from God. So, you know, it's a good thing. But, yeah, I'm very proud of Tua. I'm very proud of some of our Polynesian athletes that are out there making a name for themselves. Because when I played in the league, there were 5 of us.
Wow.
Now I think we have 107 guys in the league. So
tremendous.
I'm very happy about that. Thank you.
3rd annual Golden Heart Run presented by Cisco at Levi's Stadium, October 14th. Jesse Sapolu, the official starter. Fans can register at goldenheartrun.org. That's goldenheartrun.org. Jesse, thank you. It's a privilege. It's a pleasure. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jesse. Thanks, man.
Jesse Sapolu. So it's not just me comparing Brock Purdy to
This is a Montana teammate. No. No, he carries a little more weight than you, unfortunately, Whitey.
No, that's all good. We take a quick break. We come right back with a look at an NFL quarterback on pace to just demolish a record that really nobody wants to break. That's next year. It's the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Seriously, what did you think of that, Drapes? We just talked to Jesse Sapolu, and he kept saying, I don't want to jinx the guy. I don't want to jinx the young man. But he said, hey, kind of reminds me of 16.
No, I love it. And this is a guy that played alongside Montana. This is a guy
Snapped the ball to him.
He was his, you know, had Montana's hands on his butt. You know, day in and day out, you know, they got intimate there, you know. But it's to Jesse's point, I don't want to jinx it either. You know, it's like you start comparing them to Montana, Brady, all these greats, and then the pressure, you know, is being put on his shoulders. And I just want this kid to develop, keep going on. But Jesse, you know, for somebody that played alongside Montana to say that's the highest praise you can get right there.
Obviously, the thing about Joe or Tom Brady, they were at their best on the biggest stage.
Right.
Tom Brady, you know, how many, 7 Super Bowls? So I think you can say, well, he kind of, as I say, he reminds me of Joe Montana, but I recognize, well, you can't really say he's anywhere near as good as Joe Montana was unless and until he gets in a Super Bowl and wins it. And then Joe did that, what, 4 times?
It wasn't Joe Cool because of week 4 or 5. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was the biggest of games when he needed, you know, and Jesse brought up the drive, the John Taylor touchdown, 92 yards. Like, will Brock Purdy have that kind of moment? We'll see.
Brock Purdy, one of the things that he does that offensive linemen love, of course, he gets the ball out. Sam Howell, on the other hand, he is taking sacks.
He's getting beat up.
Like no other quarterback. Howell took last night in the Commanders' stunning loss to the Bears, 5 more sacks. So that gives him a total of 29. Let's go to the tote board. 29 sacks through the first 5 games
of
the season.
Think about that.
No other quarterback is close. Daniel Jones is next with 22 sacks. Also, Howell has lost more yardage on sacks than any other quarterback in the NFL this season, 185 yards. So if you want to do some math here, over a 17-game season, Pro Football Talk breaks it down. Howell's current total would project to 99 sacks. The record for a season is 76.
Oh, my gosh. That's not even close.
Said by David Carr.
He was shattered a record.
David Carr. Oh. That was with the expansion Houston Texans in 2002. Also, as far as losing yardage, pardon me, his current total would project to a total of 629 yards lost on sacks. NFL record for yards lost on a sack is 489.
Oh, my God.
I know he got an extra game this season, but still.
Right, but still.
It's 489, which Randall Cunningham set with the Eagles in 1986. So,
Back to what you asked earlier about Fields. Like, if I'm the Bears, I invest in an offensive line. If I'm Washington, that has to be the priority, right? You're talking about averaging close to 6 sacks a game. You know, this young kid is going to get, oh, my God. I mean, he's going to be seeing stars out there, and it's not, I mean – And I think he has talent, too. Like, I think, he has some talent. But, man, he either get rid of the ball or get a good offensive line. I don't know what it is, but he can't take this beating.
Don't you have to counter that by running – easy for me to say.
Right.
But you got to run more – we got a quick slant. Maybe the receivers are having a hard time getting off the line of scrimmage. But something where – because if Sam's back there, if he's holding on to the ball for more than 2 seconds, down goes Sam Howell, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's and Riverboat Ron, man, he got to do something about that.
Bieniemy's a good coach, so you're right. It just comes down to you got to block somebody. The O-lineman got to do the jobs.
Yeah, it comes down to the pads, right, at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, and that's the young quarterback's worst enemy is a bad offensive line. Like, you know, because we know the quarterback position, confidence could be fragile. It could be taken. It could be shaken. And, you know, you hate to see that. And so hopefully Washington invests in that offensive line.
As you said, Sam Howell is, you know, he can do some things. And Randall, of course, could do some things. Randall probably lost a lot of yards on some of those sacks because he waited a long time because he knew I can make something happen.
Scrambling.
Or tremendous arm or I can get out and run.
Yeah.
But obviously there are times when you run out of options like, oh, no, I'm going to get sacked.
Yeah.
So there's probably some of that in Sam Howell's game too. I think that was part of the issue with Trey. I think he probably learned in high school and college, if I hang on to the ball, I'm going to make something good happen.
And but he never did, though.
And Kyle, and Kyle's always like, no, get it
don't
out.
Get it out. Right, right. Yeah. And that was his issue, right, holding on to the ball. But then when he would hold on to the ball and then couldn't make things happen like he could in high school.
Wouldn't that be great if we saw him, for whatever reason, play this week? Wouldn't it be at least?
That would be a troll job by Mike McCarthy, right? That would be messing with our head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wouldn't it be great drama? Wouldn't you love to see it?
What if he came out and threw a touchdown pass or something?
I would love to see
that. You know, a little Philly special.
I'd love to see him bring him in, you know, for a red zone package.
Right. Oh. That would and if the Cowboys won, can you imagine the talk on Monday? Oh, don't let it happen.
I can't. We got a Factor Fantasy breakdown of the 49ers and Cowboys next year as we head down the home stretch on this big Fat Friday to drive guys on big day for the 49ers. They pick up Randy Gregory from the Broncos. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. Drive guys, thanks for being with us here in our first week as we're wrapping it up. Should we try it again next week? I think I'm in favor. I think we should come back and give another go on Monday.
You sure? I don't know, man. I was like, I'm all in, baby. This is just the start. This is just the beginning.
This Monday, we'd
you
have
stuck
Kings,
with me.
Kings basketball
we got Kings and Niners. Yeah, it's going to be a wild show Monday.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Randy Gregory is now a 49er, and I don't think I've emphasized this enough today. Maybe you've heard that, okay, the 49ers trade a sixth-round pick for Randy Gregory, plus they get a 2024 seventh-rounder, plus Denver's paying his salary for the rest of the year. So do you want this guy? Yeah. It's almost a free player.
It's a free, like, it's a low-risk, high-reward kind of move by John Lynch. And if he can provide some depth and give you something on that defensive line, which, you know, I think you need, it haven't been that great this season, it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all in, definitely. But, yeah, you talk about it, low risk. Man, there's virtually no risk
right?
whatsoever. Again, thanks for participating. Manny, too legit here on the chat. Two more days, guys. Just two more days for some Kings basketball. I know it's preseason. At least we get some Kings basketball to watch. Light the beam. Hope everyone has a good weekend.
Yeah, it is almost that time.
Last time people were so excited about a preseason game.
Right?
I don't know if they've ever been.
No, not a preseason game. And, you know, the fact that, you know, their home preseason openers against the Warriors, like people are talking about that game already, you know, and it's a week away, you know, more than a week away. And so, it's exciting to be a part of this, man. And we'll see how the Kings do.
Tremendous rivalry, of course, the 49ers and the Cowboys going way, 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 way back. The Kings-Warriors rivalry, it's real, isn't it? It's almost palpable.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I think
at least from our standpoint.
Yeah, it took off quickly, too. Like, you know, this time last year, sure, I wasn't a Warriors fan as a little bit. But, you know, the Lakers were our chief rival. I could argue the Warriors have overtaken the Lakers. Sure, we don't like Lakers fans and everything like that. But, man, just the whole I-80 corridor, you know, Warriors fans, that playoff series, it got contentious out there. And I still feel it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. We've talked to Tim Roy about this because he used to be a broadcaster here, broadcaster there, and the two teams had never been in the playoffs, as you know, in the same year. Ever. It never happened.
Right.
So when it did happen,
and they meet up at that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, I think the Warriors are going to be in the Kings' way again. Like we talk about, you know, the rankings and the projections and things like that. The Warriors are going to be right there. And so the Kings, you know, you and I looked at the schedule, and I got to talk to Adam Silver about this. Mm-hmm. I just don't get why we see the Warriors four times in the first three, in like the next 3 weeks. Two in the preseason, two regular season. Like, why do we see them so much so early in the season?
Yeah.
It's like, ah.
I don't know. Maybe they're figuring, well, those two teams are going to play in the playoffs again, so we'll get, I don't know.
right.
Get those games out of the way early. It's going to be an exciting way to start the season, though. You know, I have the Kings winning their first like 9 games or something. I forget what
you got him 9-0. Is that a bold prediction or is that like literally Drew broke it down and they're going to come out the gate?
Both, but I think I have him. I can't remember if it's 8-0 or 9-0. And I also honestly think we've talked about this. Domas is going to have something for Draymond at some point.
He should.
Yes.
Hard
exactly.
Foul. You know, opening tip of the game. Warriors first possession. Draymond goes up. Whack him on the arms. Send a message. Because I remember that. Fan base remember it. Domas should remember it as well.
I'm sure he does. You almost have to, right?
You it's got
almost,
to,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, though, Whitey. This is 2023. This isn't, you know, the 80s and 90s. Do guys actually do that nowadays? Do they remember stuff like that and actually act on it?
I like the way they do it in baseball. Baseball, sometimes they wait a long time. Right. Like a guy gets dotted. And it's harder to do now because they will throw you out of a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's sometimes somebody does something where a team knows that, hey, that crossed the line. But sometimes teams will wait. And they might wait till the next year.
Right.
And then we're going to dot you. And in the old days, guys knew. It's like, all right, we're even.
Next time I'm going to get hit. Yeah, we're
but
even.
I mean, stomping on a guy, and we don't need to go over that and over that.
Right.
We've all been over that. But I think you got us. Somebody's got
to
do something.
I was about to say, does it have to be Domas or can it be a teammate or something like that? You know, can it be, I wouldn't say Keegan. It had to be like Malik, somebody off the bench, I would imagine.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale McGee. You know, I wish he was here in this past season. Like De'Aaron Fox maybe doing, because Fox got a little chippy last year in that series too. Something has to happen. Not saying dirty. We're not talking that.
I know.
But you know, send a message, a little hard foul to
just
start
a message,
the game.
Like, we don't tolerate that.
Yeah.
We couldn't do anything last year because it's the playoffs. We don't want anybody getting thrown out. I would say, to answer your question, it's on Domas to do it, unless if one of his teammates takes care of it, then like, okay, we're done.
I wonder if Mike Brown is an old school coach in that way. Like, does he remember that? You know? Would he say, you know, in a pregame speech or when you're preparing, and you guys, as we break down this tape, you remember what he did to Domas, you know, try and refresh his teammates' memory just to get them fired up, you know, get them juiced up as they come out the locker room.
Because as a coach, you could see how, wow, there could be some benefit from this. What's the best way to play it? Is it like, you know what, guys, we're beyond that? Or do you realize, look, our culture is such that we can't tolerate that.
Yeah, we can't let this happen.
We don't want to hurt anybody, but we have to respond to that. I wonder.
Right, yeah, it'll be
I'm
interesting.
I'm for responding.
But, you know, here's the thing. Draymond's out with that ankle injury, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so we won't see him in the preseason. It has to be a regular season.
That's too bad, because the preseason would be probably the best place to do it, maybe.
You think? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because you don't want anybody getting thrown
out
or anything.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want anything to pop off out there, like that. So
we'll find out soon enough, and we'll also find out soon enough if these things are going to come true or not. Some 49ers Cowboys props here with a game coming up Sunday here on Sacktown Sports. Brock Purdy throws for 250 yards. What do you think?
Brock Purdy 200? No, I don't think so. 250 is kind of low, but when you look at Brock Purdy, he's not a high-volume kind of guy, a 350, 400 kind of guy. I just think CMC is going to have such a big game against this Cowboys defense. Their run defense is porous, so I don't think he needs – I got Brock Purdy at about 239, 242.
Yeah, it's very close, very close. I'm going to say yes just because I think – and I agree with you. I think the Cowboys are – I think they're going to be selling out to stop the run, and I think that's going to – create some opportunities. Okay. But I think I'm with you. It's going to be really, really close. But I say, yeah. How about Dak throws two picks?
No, I think Dak has.
You think three or four?
No, right, exactly. I'm going the over on that. No, no, I'm going the under. I think it's going to be a clean game, to be honest with you. There may be one turnover, but I don't see Dak imploding, having a two or three interception kind of game. I think Dak.
That was the key to the last time they played.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't see a repeat of that this year. So I got the under on that. Where are you going on that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to say two at least, but I'm with you. I think you're right.
If it's two or three, that's a wrap. The game's over, right?
McCaffrey scores three touchdowns.
I'm going under just because he scored a million last week. I mean, I got him at two touchdowns. Three is an awful lot. And we had talked earlier this week about the weapons that the Niners have. It may be Kittle getting into the end zone. It may be Debo getting into the end zone. So I got CMC at two.
Okay. Now, I do think you say you thought it would be kind of a high-scoring game?
Yeah, I thought a 31, 28, 35, 31 kind of game. I do think that.
because you got McCaffrey not scoring three and you got Brock under 250. But, I mean, that doesn't mean you're wrong, but I'm just wondering where those yards and points are going to come from.
No, he could drive them down and then hit Debo or Kittle across the middle, you know?
Yeah.
You know, 6 yard touchdown, that doesn't blow up your yardage.
You're right.
Yeah.
Kittle has a breakout game. What do you think?
Yes.
And a breakout, I mean, it would have to be one where everyone goes, wow, that was a breakout game.
Yeah.
So if there's any question, then it's not.
No. Yeah. I think Kittle's going to have a big game. I got him 6 or 7 receptions, you know, 70 yards, something like that, a score. So to me, that's a breakout for him. That's, you know, this season. It's like, oh, bam, Kittle's back.
I can see how he could, and maybe he will. I'm going to go no just because I'm going to go. I saw something today that was beautiful. It was like a minute 48 on Twitter, and it was just Ayuk running routes.
Seriously. Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, that dude is amazing,
how does anybody cover
him?
So I think Kittle's going to have a few important catches, but I think Ayuk's the guy because I don't know how anybody covers him, and I think he's going to be the biggest problem for Dallas this week. I don't know. Let's see. Finally, you won't like this one. Iceberg lettuce Mike McCarthy commits a coaching blunder. Yes or no? Just one where people the next day are going, you know, that was pretty dumb.
No, I'm not going to go there.
Automatic.
No, it's a, like, are you talking a game changing blunder like in the fourth quarter, like, or is it like going forward on fourth and two from your own 25 or something like that?
Yeah, not necessarily game changing, but clearly a whoa.
No, I think so. Yeah, I'll change my opinion. I think it'll be like I just said. He'll go for it on fourth down from like his own 38 or something like that, 40. And we're like, what are you doing? You're turning the field ball over to this offense on the short field. So I think there will be something like
all
that.
All right. Or
going for a 2-point conversion when you don't need it.
Yeah, something dumb like that.
I'm with you.
And I think one of the reasons I think he will is because I do think the 49ers are kind of in his and the Cowboys' heads.
After, you think so?
Yeah, and I think that's why this is such a big game for them. They have a lot to prove. Both teams have a lot to prove, and if the 49ers don't win, it would be a huge loss. But this is a huge statement game for the Cowboys. They're playing for their self-respect.
Who's behind the – Jay's behind the board. Dog, is this a rollout song? Like, is this a song? Dog, it's about to be the weekend. I need something to pop off here. You know – and I'm ready to fall asleep, man. It's Friday night. I'm trying to go hit them streets, bro. Jay is my guy, man. Jay, appreciate you, man. That's awesome.
We'll definitely get you something different if you want next
week. Yeah, next week. Friday. I need something. Yeah. This is like if I was retiring
this
or something
the,
like
this
that.
Is the
like
cars, and it's called Drive. And
yeah.
That's why.
Oh, yeah. No. All right. Yeah. I mean, I know the song. I've heard this song, but this is not a Friday night song. Whitey, we're about to run out this room and hit these streets, bro. like this is the start of the weekend. I'm about to celebrate.
I know. What do you got going on this weekend that you could share with us?
Nothing really. You know what? There's a yard
like a
sale
weekend
in my neighborhood.
Nothing
I got my son's golf.
Wink, wink.
Exactly. I can't share it with you, but I'm looking forward to Sunday. A lot of TV on Sunday.
Thanks for this week. Thank you very much.
Good job, my man. Yes,
Thank you
we'll be back
with
next
we
week.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Jay. We're back with you Monday, so enjoy the big weekend, and thanks for being with us here on Sacktown Sports.
Out.